This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak again to State Senator Tom McClintock. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Now, the last time we spoke, not only did you denounce Proposition 71 as a self-serving scam, but you said you'd be willing to debate anybody who wanted to defend it. Since that time, I've asked Drs. Bluestein, Berg, Weissman, Fiona Hutton, who runs the Prop 71 operation, and Robert Klein, who wrote Proposition 71, to debate you, and they've all either declined or refused.
Well, because it's indefensible, and they know it's indefensible. What they're counting on is that more than $20 million of money, largely from biotechnology companies that will be gaining $3 billion of public handouts, is going to sway the day.
Well, how does it look to you?
We're going to see.
What does it look to you like it's going to sway the day?
Well, it's an awfully one-sided campaign with that kind of money, but if you stop and think about it, that's a pretty good return on their investment, probably about 15,000%. They put up $20 million to get this passed, and then they have a carte blanche grab bag of $3 billion of public money that will be doled out to them by a panel of political appointees and interest groups without the oversight of the Open Meetings Act or of the Public Records Act. And the working groups that will be actually scoring and making the recommendations of the grant applications of these companies are exempt from the conflict of interest law. So these companies can place their lobbyists on the working groups that will then be evaluating the company's grant applications. In any other part of state government, that is a felony. Under Prop 71, that's just another day at the office.
So, speaking of the office, it looks to me like not only is this putting the fox in charge of the chicken coop, I'm picturing a big boardroom with a big table and a whole bunch of foxes all administering the chicken coop in comfort and security.
Yes, and dividing up the chicken.
It occurred to me about a week ago that, based on what you just said, that this is a 15,000% return on investment, that there must be a business plan somewhere, that the people who put this together said, here, it cost us $20 million to do it, we'll get $3 billion, here's how we'll divvy up the spoils. But it would be pretty hard to get a copy of that, don't you think?
Well, again, I don't know exactly what was going on behind closed doors. What I do know is this is a raid of $3 billion of money to be borrowed by a state that has the lowest credit rating in the country.
Which means it'll have to pay the highest interest rates.
Correct. And also already has the highest debt service costs of any state in the country, or for that matter, the highest debt service costs that it's ever had in all history. And at a time when its general fund supported debt has ballooned 54%, in a span of just 14 months.
Okay, apart from the specifics of Prop 71 and its financing, which we're going to talk about a little bit more also, what does this do in terms of establishing a precedent for a group of people to get together, come up with a plan, and then push it through with an investment in cash for the rest of state government in the future?
It's open season on California taxpayers. I'll bet you the next thing we see is a group of energy companies that get together to sell us fusion research, that just with a $3 billion grant we can have limitless supplies of clean and cheap electricity. And
too cheap to monitor.
Yeah, too cheap to monitor. Then you'll have the nanotechnology companies coming in and saying with $3 billion we can guarantee you a 150-year lifespan and cure whatever ails you that the stem cell research fails to do. And on and on. Here's the thing about the stem cell research. There is absolutely no guarantee of any tangible benefit for the public. There's an absolute guarantee the public will be required not only to repay $3 billion of principal, but it's going to cost an additional $3 billion to borrow. So it's actually costing taxpayers $6 billion. Only half of that's going into any form of stem cell research. The other $3 billion is going off to Wall Street, and the $3 billion that is going to stem cell research doesn't guarantee us a darn thing. In fact, one of the authors of Prop 71, Dr. Larry Goldstein of UCSD, was quoted in the Sacramento Bee several weeks ago admitting the $3 billion probably isn't going to be enough to show any tangible benefits. Well, if that's the case, How in the world can they make the kind of promises they've made to the people of California that just cast this vote and we'll cure everything from diabetes to cancer?
Okay, I've come up with an idea that I'd like to get your take on. Let's assume it passes. The last word I heard a few minutes ago is that the latest field poll says it has a 54% favorable rating right now. If it does pass, do you expect there'll be litigation to slow its implementation down?
Oh, I doubt it.
Really?
Again, this is a constitutional entitlement of $300 million a year for the next 10 years for these biotechnology companies.
Come, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it can be legally challenged.
Okay.
The challenge has to come from anybody who gives a damn about the state's finances.
Okay, here's an idea that I had. I wanted to get your take on. There's going to be an institute for regenerative medicine that's going to be in charge of doling out this money. I thought it would be good to have an institute for monitoring the Institute for Regenerative Medicine to watch on these conflicts of interest, to see how the money is allocated, to defend the people who are going to have their biology altered in order to provide the raw materials for the projects.
Well, under this measure, you can't have that. Under this measure, any discussion of confidential research data, when they're handing out research grants, is not subject to the Open Meetings Act, which means everything after the Pledge of Allegiance is going to be closed to the public.
Does that mean even who gets the checks?
Well, no, you'll know who gets the checks, but you will have absolutely no way of knowing why they got the checks or what you're getting out of those checks. They've also exempted themselves under the same terms from the Public Records Act, which means when you go to ask, what did our $3 billion buy us, the answer is going to be, sorry, that's none of your business, it's all confidential.
So this is a pretty ironclad situation. If it passes, it becomes a constitutional amendment, people can't find out what's going on, they can't watch the meetings or attend them or get the records afterwards, and they can't, as you just said, litigate because it's a constitutional provision now. What recourse do you think people will have other than...
They have the recourse of paying through the nose for this research for the next 35 years, whether it pans out or not. And you have to ask yourself, what kind of research could we be doing? First of all, this $3 billion of grant money is nearly twice what the University of California has spent on all of its research facilities over the past 25 years. Put another way, the annual expenditures will be 33 times what the state spends on AIDS research, for example. So you're talking about a phenomenal amount of money. And the question occurs, if you look at all the research that we are doing today in the University of California and other areas, in nanotechnology, in fusion technology, and in stem cell research, what kind of cutting-edge research would we be doing today if we were still paying off bills for research that probably didn't pan out in 1970? That's exactly the position this measure places our children in. They're going to have their own research to do 30 years from now without having to pay for research that might or might not have paid out 30 years ago.
Okay, now in terms of their deprivation based on the money they're going to have to be paying in debt service, what about current operating expenses for other medical, educational, public safety issues in California? What's this going to do to the overall budget?
Well, this all comes out of the state general fund. It all has to be repaid by the state general fund. So it all has to come out of either higher taxes or by taking money away from research in a wide range of other areas, as well as all of the other things that government does.
Well, would it take another constitutional amendment paid for by another $20 million initiative campaign to undo the damage that this is going to do?
No. As a matter of fact, once the damage is done, once those bonds are let, you cannot get out of them. Even another constitutional amendment with a unanimous vote of the legislature and a unanimous vote of the people cannot rescind the money that we've already borrowed. It will be able to stop the borrowing of future money. But, you know, that's why public debt has to be handled very, very carefully. Number one, it doubles the price of whatever it is you're trying to buy. Again, $3 billion of grants will actually cost us $6 billion out of the general fund. And also, we've always done research on a pay-as-you-go basis in the past because most research doesn't pan out. the research money has to be adjusted every year depending upon what technologies are showing promise and what ones aren't. This requires us to make provides a constitutional entitlement for these grants for the next 10 years, regardless of whether they're showing any promise at all.
Now, if they do fulfill the promise and the promise is made, the argument has been made by the proponents that the benefits from the better therapies that will be available on the basis of those discoveries will drastically reduce healthcare costs in California, both for the state and for individuals. Is that a plausible argument?
No, and I'll tell you why it's not a plausible. I mean, yes, on paper it is, but they themselves are admitting. Again, I just quoted Larry Goldstein, one of the authors of Prop 71, saying this probably isn't going to be enough to make any kind of breakthrough.
And is there any reason why these new discoveries would be any less expensive than existing therapies?
Well, as a matter of fact, it may well be that by taking $3 billion, again, twice what the University of California spent on all of its research facilities over the past 25 years, taking that huge amount of money and putting it into stem cell research, you're now starving research in other areas that might be far more promising. The other field of medical research that is showing tremendous promise is the field of nanotechnology. In fact, the chancellor of the University of California at Santa Barbara told me recently they're putting a great deal of effort into nanotechnology. He believes that that may well end up extending human lifespans to 140 years in the next generation. All of that research will go wanting while billions and billions of dollars are poured down stem cell research that may or may not pan out.
Now, if it does pan out and there are viable technologies developed from it, is it a matter of concern to you that the intellectual property rights that have been granted to discoveries that were paid for by public money will reside principally or exclusively in private hands?
Well, yes, that is. And by the way, that's also the principal reason that the was cited by the California Nurses Association in opposition to this measure. California Nurses Association strongly supports embryonic stem cell research, which is the field of stem cell research that this measure actually funds. But their point is, if it's public money, it ought to be public property. Public money shouldn't be used to pay for research that will financially benefit private interests, and yet that's exactly what we will see out of Prop 71. The licenses for the process of creating embryonic stem cells the Geron Corporation is the corporation that has the patents to the process.
Right.
They will make a fortune. In fact, I just read within the last day or two that their stock had increased 14% over the past month. I mean, they're going to make out like bandits, and it's all going to be with public money. And at the end of the day, you won't even have the right to ask, what did this buy us?
No,
because again, they've exempted themselves on any matters of confidential research data. They've exempted themselves from the Public Records Act.
But they've also exempted themselves from the normal informed consent rules, haven't they, for the patients or the experimental subjects?
That I don't know.
Okay.
There are a number of very powerful ethical arguments that are also being made on this. My sense of it is you don't even need to go there to realize what a financial disaster Prop 71 will be.
Now, I interviewed Deborah Berger, the head of the California Nurses Association. One of the points that she wanted to stress was the idea that women, which according to what I heard on the radio 20 minutes ago, are bigger supporters of Prop 71 than men as a group, will be particularly vulnerable to the activities of the Institute for Regenerative Medicine on the basis that their eggs are crucial to the research, and their eggs will be even more crucial to the somatic cell transfer technology that will be developed if they're successful.
There's a simpler word for somatic cell transfer technology. It's called cloning.
All right, exactly. Therapeutic cloning. Could you say something about the vulnerability of women, especially poor women?
Well, I mean, there's no question this will establish a market for human eggs, and that market will be met.
Okay. What about the politics of this now? Is this a strange bedfellows issue, or what have you seen as the alliances on either side here?
Well, the strange bedfellows are among the opposition, and they're basically two strains of thought. There is the ethical issues that come into play whenever you start talking about human embryos. So there's one group that is opposed to it on the ethical grounds, but you will also find, including the California Nurses Association, a large group of individuals who are very much in favor of embryonic stem cell research, who reject the ethical arguments made by opponents, but believe that this is a financial disaster that will essentially dry up funds for all other research provide no benefit of any, or no guarantee of any tangible benefit.
Okay, let's sort of wrap up here. What's your expectation of what's going to happen on the tomorrow on the vote?
Oh, I don't make predictions.
Okay.
I will predict this. If it passes, our financial problems just got another $6 billion worse. If it passes, we are going to see the necessity for taxes amounting to about $660 per family to retire that debt and its both principal and interest over the next generation. As I said, no guarantee of any benefits to come of it. It's very much reminiscent of the days when the itinerant peddler would pull into a Western town with a miracle elixir that was guaranteed to cure whatever ails you. That peddler would make a killing in that town and get out of town on the next stage. And the next morning, the people of the town would have nothing to show for it except lighter wallets and a hangover.
The difference
that's essentially what's happened here in California.
With the difference being, of course, that all he did was take all the money in their wallets. He didn't sell them bonds that would have to be paid off over 30 years.
Yeah, actually, right. The bonds that will be paid off by our children, which, again, will make it more difficult for our children to do the research that they will need in the next generation.
It doesn't sound like a very good idea.
In my opinion, is perhaps the worst ballot measure that we've seen over the past decade because of the precedent that it sets the burden it places on our children.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. No one's going to be able to say that you didn't speak out against it. I want to thank you very much for talking to us on California Politics today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Talk to you later. Bye.